Your mic.
No, wait, my mic is off.
I tried to get away from even wearing this contraption. You notice I didn't go with the, you know, the mic like that. That's not in my lifetime. Anyway, we read 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. And in that, it discusses the fact that your adversary, the devil, in the King James says, walks about. I've heard 1,000 lessons probably upon the roaring lion, but I've heard very few lessons about walking about the devil. We don't really think about it. Well, we do. We know that he walks about at Northgate on Friday and Saturday night. It's obvious he's walking about over there. We know that he walks about at Las Vegas. What's their motto? If it happens here, it stays here. If that's not the devil's motto, I don't know what is. We know that the devil walks in Las Vegas. We know that the devil walks on our computers. I mean, how many times have you been on a computer and something pop up? You go, where did that come from? That's not appropriate. We know that the devil walks in the movies. I remember when I was young, the only place we ever took Elaine when I was dating her, we went to the movie. We saw every movie that existed for years. And she said most of them were rot gut movies, but that's another issue. But we saw the movies. Well, now you can't go to the movie. You got to sit there and say, okay, what's this movie rated? It used to be, if it was rated PG, we could make, there were most of them rated PG, maybe PG-13. Now, it seems like the majority of the movies are rated R. So you can't go see those. So we know the devil walks there. We know the devil walks on the television. I mean, at our house, basically, we watch Hallmark movies, old Westerns, and I mean the kind, you know, like The Rifleman, which most of you don't even know what that is. We watch old movies, old Westerns, and sports. And now it's beginning to get to where I can't watch sports because they'll pull in on the coach and I can read his lips. And it ain't right no more. It's getting ridiculous. So I know the devil walks there to and fro. So the question is, he already got those people. He doesn't need them. So the title of this lesson is When Satan Came to Church. And you go, Satan came to church? Well, I believe he does. Look at Job. So at our house, we call him Job. At Job 1, verse 6. Job 1, verse 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Isn't it interesting that Satan came among the sons of God? So he must have some kind of ability to go places amongst the followers of God. Well, the first way that we know that Satan is here is Satan criticizes the people that are here, especially the character of the people. That's a way that Satan is walking to and fro. Look at Job 1, 9 through 10. It says, so Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed his works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. He perceived that one was protected by God based upon the fact that Job had a large riches. Satan tries to tell us well, old brother so-and-so, he's got money. He can afford to do things because God blessed him more than he blessed me. How many times have we had the elders come before us and ask us about some congregation that existed in Ethiopia or South Africa or some other location that needed funds? And they said, we need you to give some money so we can send the money to those congregations. Did the first thought you say, well, old brother Jackson, he's got lots of money. He'll give the most. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. Or, as I told the college kid, guys at least, you can't tell me you can't give up two meals on Sunday or Saturday. I know you're spending anywhere from $6 to $10 a meal, and you could give $20 to the easy to the elders. The point is that you are responsible, and don't say others are responsible to take care of it. That's a method for the devil to tell us that they are, that he's walking amongst us. And riches are not what you think they are. I know when I was in college, I thought riches were great because I didn't have any. That's why I thought they were great. Turn to 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through and through. Paul says riches are difficult to handle. How many of us are going to college to come out to be poor? I don't see any hands up over there. I didn't, I promise you that. But he says riches are difficult to handle. So know going into it that whatever you make, whatever you decide to do, you need to be careful, because riches can be a problem. Satan wants us to believe that the ones that are rich, they can take care of everything. And it's our responsibility. But the real character of Job is in verse 1 in Job 1. What does it say about Job? It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one that feared God and shunned evil. And Job was a rich man. He was extremely wealthy for his time. But he was blameless, he was upright, and he feared God, and he shunned evil. That's the way, if you're doing that, then the devil's not here tonight. If you're not, the devil's amongst us. Look at Job 2:4. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give you his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Satan says, try to save people, follow God because they're healthy. When you are in the midst of some physical ailment that is very difficult for you to handle, it's easy for Satan to be amongst us and me say, well, old brother Dawson, he don't have that problem. He's physically healthy. He's got no problems at all. I don't really know that, but that's what I might think. That's not correct. Satan is trying to make me think others can do things He's trying to separate me from the group. Job answered that question in Job 2, 9 through 10. He says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Remember, by this time he's got boils all over him and he's scraping himself with ashes. I mean, it's bad shape. Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. We need not to sin with our lips and our minds when we are unhealthy. I guess that's if that's a real word or not. When we are sick. If we sin with our mouth or our minds, we're saying they are the ones that are, we're letting the devil walk amongst us again. Look in number 16, you don't have to, number 16, 2 through 35. You will remember Korah's rebellion, okay? And in verse 3, it says, they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, and every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the Lord? It's what it, what they're trying to say is that you, Moses and Aaron, are above us, but we are as good as you. God was the one that picked them. In verse 28 it says, and Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them on my own. Do we argue or complain about the leaders of Twin City? When we get in a car, the leaders of the elders of Twin City have said, we need to do something. We get in the car, and on the way home, we give them the 1-2 right punch. Those guys, they don't know it. If they only understood what they're talking about, they don't. In other words, we start complaining and griping about the leadership. Well, that's when the devil is walking to and fro amongst us. And I know that that happens. Isn't it interesting that the elders are commanded to be in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. The elders who are amongst you, I exhort. Doesn't say I badmouth them. Says, I exhort, I whom am a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over them those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherds appear, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Years ago, approximately, but sometime between 56 and 60, there was a drought in this area, this exact area. It was so dry here, it didn't rain almost for 4 years. I bet you we didn't get 10 inches of rain in 4 inches. Every tank, every pasture would look like Arizona. Every cowman, including my father, my two uncles, and my grandfather, had to sell every cow they owned. Well, along about late 59, early 60, it started raining again. And it rained. And the Lord brought back the grass. So my dad decides, okay, it's time to get back in the cow business. So he buys 12 cows that were all had calves. And of course, being a true working for Diamond Alkali in those days, He bought all of his cows from somebody else that worked from Diamond Alkali, who had them all down there and on the other side of Pasadena. And they were all Hereford cows, which I know Michael doesn't like, but they were all Hereford cows, and they were all bred to a Bramer bull. So every calf was half Bramer and half Hereford. They have what they call the hybrid vigor, which means they get big. So my dad said, okay, I'm going to keep, and they were all hopefully bred back. I'm going to keep every heifer. And he did. He's going to build his herd back, starting at 12. Well, he had one heifer, and I remember her because we could get her right up to the lot gate. And she would turn and run over you if she had to. And she could jump a four-string barbed wire fence like a deer. You could not pin that girl. Well, why did I tell that story? Because I think the elders think there's a bunch of heifers in this group. We jump sometime when we get told to do something. And we complain and we gripe or we talk about it. You ought not to be that wild heifer, I'm telling you. You need to be like the rest of them cows and get in that lot. Paul, and another thing that we know that the devil walks to and fro amongst us is there were false brethren. Well, if there were false brethren during Paul's time, turn to 2 Corinthians 11:26. 2 Corinthians 11:26, and it says, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren. So there are false brethren. And they must be among us because sometimes they teach us false information. We have to be careful who we listen to. Everything I'm saying, you need to back it up because I could be that false brethren. Because it says in 2 Timothy 3:1-7, but know this, that in the last days, and we're in the last days, that was after Jesus, okay? Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Now tell me that this doesn't really fit what goes on in the world. And I think it went on in the world in the 1800s too, okay? I know it went on in the world in the 1900s. For men are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. For such people turn away. For this sort of those who creep in the household and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So the point there is that these false teachers are both male and female. We need to be careful. The devil walks among us with false teachers. So that's the characteristics that we gripe about. Now let's look at distraction during worship. Satan is walking among us when we are distracted in worship. The first way we are distracted in worship is, I don't feel real good tonight. I think I'm going to stay home. Or it won't hurt to miss tonight. The Super Bowl starts at 5. it won't hurt to miss tonight. It won't hurt to miss just once. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, I've heard all the arguments of what the day approaching is, what the meeting was, and all that kind of routine. But I'd say turn to James 4, 17. And it says simply, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. All right? Come to worship or stay home. Worship's good or worship is bad? You got to answer that question. I can't answer it for you. But that's the answer to the distraction that you are. And you say, well, but if I'm not here, then I don't distract anybody. Well, that's not true. We come in and we sit here, and in the morning, I don't know how many people were here. Okay, I'm going to make a number up. There was 300 plus. Okay, maybe there wasn't, maybe there was. But we come here this afternoon, I see all these empty seats back there and over here, a whole row here. Almost a whole row right there. Isn't it interesting? So there's obviously a distraction here that's going on because I didn't see somebody. On the way in, I asked Miles, were you here this morning? So therefore, Miles, he was at Benchley's. I'll give him that. But the point is he was he's a distraction. I'm worried about old Miles. He wasn't here. Whenever I don't see Jake, I do the same thing. I worry about you guys when I don't see y'all. You laugh, but I really do. When you get to be 72, you can start worrying about the young ones, okay? Because you guys are the ones that I worry about because y'all are going to be here for the next 50 plus years that's going to take over for this place. And without you, there will be no church. So if you miss, I worry about you. So the second thing is we like to divide the group or congregation over something. How many times have we had something that happens here that we get divided over? 1 Corinthians 11, 18. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. Do I or any of us divide the group over some basically trivial issue? I've seen them divide over the color of the carpet. When you get as old as me, you've seen lots of weird stuff happen. You need to be careful on what you push that will divide the group. Satan's walking around here. Now, this other one is kind of a strange one, but I thought about it, and that's how I come to it, because I'm strange. Changing meaning of the Lord's Supper. And you go, how is that true? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11, 19 through 22. For there must also be factions among you, different groups, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the other, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. I've got a financial advisor. In fact, I picked him right before I retired. I picked this guy because he was local, and he was a Christian. Now we can get into a little argument about definition of Christian, okay? But he was a follower of God. And I'd go to him and we would talk and we would do things and he would pray. He was a married man. He had raised two attractive, by their pictures, daughters. Then his wife got cancer. And I don't know what kind she got. But shortly thereafter, by shortly, a year or two, she died. He then found him another young lady. When I say young, he's in his 50s or 60s. To me, that's young. To Matt, that's old, but we'll worry about that another day. But the point is that he found another lady and they got married. And shortly thereafter, she didn't really like going to the worship. So she wanted to go to a Bible church or whatever they call those now, which is good. And he says they teach everything right, but they don't do the Lord's Supper but about once a month or maybe once every 2 months, but that's okay. But yet 3 years before it wasn't okay. So the point is that sometimes we forget what's important and we change ourselves to worry, we actually change the function of the Lord's Supper. Why do we decide not to take it? And I know this is an interesting question because Brother Steve Voss found us a book in his daddy's stuff that I gave it to a bunch of you guys, we did, of writings from preachers and teachers in 1918, I think it was. And you know what? You know what one of the problems was in 1918? It's 100 years ago, the Lord's Supper. People not wanting to take the Lord's Supper. The whole book was about that. Not the whole book, a lot of the book. Some of the book is about saying those preachers really thought that the closing prayer should be a closing prayer, not a redone of the sermon, but that's another issue. But my point is that this changing of the Lord's Supper, and we talk about it here every week, but we've had those amongst us that have left us, and they go places where they don't take the Lord's Supper anymore. Maybe once a month or once every holiday or quarter or I don't know. They don't take it every week. That's the devil walking amongst us. The third item, strife among one another. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things have the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swifter in running to evil, a false witness who speaks a lie, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. Discord is saying or doing things that cause distrust among the brethren. What is that ranked with? It's ranked with a lying tongue. It's ranked with shedding innocent blood. That sounds like murder in my mind. Wicked plans. Running to do evil. All of those things. So, don't you think the devil's walking amongst us when we sow discord? Divisions among the brethren. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Jacob does that a whole lot better than I do. He repeats it for people that can't hear like me. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For in this, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, but those of Cleo's household, that there is a contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you say, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Divisions in the church. When I first got married, we got married in April Fool's Day, which is the best day to get married. If you ain't got married yet, get married on April Fool's Day because you can never forget it. Plus, you can tell her that was a joke, so you don't have to worry about it. April Fool's Day. So that fall, we moved to Huntsville because I was working on my master's. And so we go to church in Huntsville. And in those days, it was kind of like the old Southside building, if you ever knew them. It had an aisle right down the middle. It's got a group over here and a group over there. You had to pick a side to sit on now because there wasn't no middle aisle. But if you sit over here, you can't talk to those over here. If you sit over here, you can't talk to those over here. Literally, that I'm not kidding. We went there about 3 weeks, and Elaine told me, she says, you got to find me another church. We cannot keep going here, not for the next 2 years. So we hooked up and drove to Madisonville every day or every Sunday. It's there. Confusions and evil works. James 3:16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and evil things are there. In my life, I've seen many splits in the church. I have seen things that I don't even want to mention. And a lot of them have been over evil. Over envy. They envied the other ones. And I don't know where I did it, but I missed it. There was one point I wanted to specifically make, and it's in there someplace. And I didn't see it when I went through. And it was discussion about distractions. My question is, well, let me tell the little story of my wife. When my wife was 17, when she was 14, I'm sorry. When she was 14, she was sitting with a bunch of young people, like here and there. And the young people, she was talking during service. Her dad, who some of you know, got up, didn't say a word, walked up behind her, tapped her on the shoulder, didn't say a word. She turned around and he went. She said she never talked again during service. So what my point is that if you are being a distraction to the others on your row or anyone else, be careful. Because I would advise the fathers to follow Jim Ianson's methods. They will be quiet after that. So the conclusion is, do you think Satan is walking in the church? Do you criticize people or the character of people? Do you distract during worship? Do you make discord or strife among the brethren? We need to think about our motives many times, because many times we are the ones that are incorrect, not somebody else. So remember that that Satan walking to and fro, he's walking in this building many times, and that's because he's right up here and he's told when he comes out right here. This wasn't a lesson so much to convert somebody. It was really a lesson for those of us that have been around for a while. I really do enjoy teaching, preaching, and it's not because I'm a great speaker. I know better than that. But it's the fact that I spend a week or 2 weeks trying to think of all of the things that I have done that were wrong so that I can correct myself and that you can correct yourself, because I don't think I'm too much different than anybody else. I'm just a lot older than a lot of you. And not all of you, but a lot of you. So if for any reason you need to come before the Lord and you before the congregation and ask to be baptized, that would be great tonight. That would be the greatest thing in the world to kick Satan out of this church, is for us to be celebrating as you became a Christian. Or if there's a reason that you have fallen away and you decide that you need the prayers of the congregation, this is the time to do it as Miles leads us in singing. Please come forward.
When we walk with the Lord in the light,